Hey, friend.
Hey.
Hit the damn record.
Hit the damn record. See, we're
recording
something.
Welcome to Unlikely Friends Podcast,
where two friends are living abroad talk about
life,
love,
and loss, and everything
in between. Right.
Yeah.
My name is David. How y'all doing?
Hi, my name is Desma, and we are Unlikely Friends. And how you doing today, friend?
I'm doing just fine. But before we get into that, I would like to ask all of our YouTube watchers, if you are watching on YouTube, please like, share, and subscribe, and hit the notification bell so that you know when we post a new video.
Ding!
Ding!
And we welcome any lovely comments, as long as they're lovely.
Constructive.
If you like it, great. If you don't, that's your thing, man. Everybody's got their thing.
Just keep going. We're not stressed here.
So, yes. So how have you been? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, I have been doing just fine. I had a small altercation at my kickboxing session.
Oh my gosh, yeah, because you started.
With my dojo. And
is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, everybody just calls them Hojo. So
Okay.
And we were doing leg exercises, and my knee started to hurt, and my back started to hurt, and my stomach started to hurt. And I just said, God, I need to sit down just for 1 minute. Give me 5 minutes, you know, just to recoup, because I was getting short of breath. I was tired.
And this is like your – how many sessions have you done? It's not like you've been doing this for like 6 months.
This is my second week.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay. This is my second week. So I was getting – And it was, I mean, our sessions are tough. They are really, 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 really tough. And yeah. I just got pooped. I was like, oh, I'm so pooped out. I said, just let me sit for 5 minutes. And he was like, get up, get up, get up. And I looked at him. I was like,
who do you think you are? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Who you think you is?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, sir. You got the wrong one on the right day. and he said to me, he got in my face.
He said, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said, get up now, get up. And I was looking at him. I was like, I am beat. I says, I'm tired. I says, I'm not, you know, some young spry like all of these other guys in their 20s and 30s. I says, I'm in my mid 50s. I says, I'm not as fast as they are. I'm not as fit as they are. I says, I can't do what they can do right now. I'm still at the beginning phase. And I tried to explain this to them. And he put hands on me and snatched me up out of my seated position.
Whoa.
And he told me to move.
Okay.
And I looked at him. I was like, he's serious.
Were you in a bit of shock?
I was in complete shock. And
wow.
I didn't say anything because, let's be real about it, he's been doing this for 30 plus years. I've been doing this for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He will turn my ass into cornbread. So I was like, okay, fine. So I just, you know, did whatever he said. And when he looked at me, I would not look at him. Purposely, I would not look at him. And
okay,
I would just listen to what he was saying, and then he cornered me at the end of the session. He cornered me. He said, look, he says, when I tell you to do something, you do it. He says, I don't want to hear about your age. I don't want to hear about your weight. I don't want to hear about none of the things that you can't do. He says, I only want to hear the things that you can do. He says, and if you stop, you're telling me that you can't do it. He says, and I'm not here for it. He says,
wow.
Keep going. He said, and then he put his hand on, he wanted to shake my hand, and he grabbed my hand and he pulled me in and he gave me a hug. And Everybody in the club, they were like, "We love you, Big Brother. We love," because you so they say Big Brother or Abby. "We love you, Big Brother. We love you." He says, "You can do it. Right. You can do it." And I almost burst into tears because, you know, I thought I was like the pariah in the class. Mm. Now I was like, you know, me being, yeah. you know, I guess he was like, "Look, your attitude, bro. You might be the teacher in your classrooms, but here I rule, and I have to accept that." So,
yeah,
yeah. He but told me so, what was up.
What an amazing, encouraging experience, yeah. though. Like that you have a teacher that really wants to push you, but push you in a positive way. Mm-hmm. You know,
he damn near killed me.
I'd imagine there are some teachers that are like, "All right, whatever. Like, you need to rest. And I guess right. you know, I'll just get my money." However, but it seems like he's actually really passionate.
Yeah,
about teaching
he was.
This.
He was like adamant that I kept going. He was like, "Keep going," and I was like. And even as we sit here today, my knees hurt so bad. This is the first time that I've used a Tiger Balm on my knees because they hurt so bad. Yeah. Thank God I had Tiger Balm. A friend of mine brought it back from America like years and years ago. And I never used it. And I was like, I need to crack this thing open and start using it. And my knees feel a little bit better. But man, and I'm kind of glad I did it because, you know, I think I needed that because I was lacking. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I was lacking discipline. Okay. I mean, it's like if you're teaching your class and then one of your kids just, you know, if you're doing in the middle of an activity, by the way, Desmond works in a Petri dish.
yeah, I do.
Meaning she's not kindergarten, but
preschool.
Preschool, so yeah.
It's a petri dish definitely. Yeah.
It's like every other week she's sick. But anyway, and I feel so bad for her. Anyway, if one of your students say to you, "Teacher, I'm not doing this," you'd be like, "Little boy, little girl, you better get up." And I think
the teacher look comes out.
Yeah,
like...
and I think that, and I gave him that teacher look, and he gave me the teacher look, but unbeknownst to me, he the teacher, I'm not.
right.
So
right.
I had to like tuck my tail and be like, "Yes, sir."
Well, that's really cool that he was so encouraging, though. Like that's what you want out of an instructor.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
I didn't really take a lot of like sports as a kid. You know, I did like individual competition kind of sports, like gymnastics and baton twirling of all things.
Really?
But like those kinds of yes, I can
my
twirl
sister
baton.
Did
I can
that
still
too.
Twirl it and catch it. Like
oh, get out of here. All right, you
random odd talent. But yeah, I never really did any of those kind of like sports teamwork kind of things that I think that maybe would have pushed me a little bit more. And I think those kinds of things are really good for kids and good for us too, because it pushes you. And in turn, your confidence is built from that.
Exactly.
You know, kind of pushing yourself.
And it's also like, a bit of character building because
it's gotta be.
You absolutely have to interact with other people. Kickboxing is not something you can do by yourself. You just can't. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's good that you can do something like that. And if you have like muscle memory, as most dancers do, then you can easily kind of work it out, you know? That's really cool. So last night I was, I went to a party actually with friends. And I saw these two friends that I haven't seen in forever. Like I've known them for ages, like a decade or something. And they used to live here and they've just come back. And so there was a little party that we had, you know, last night. It was really lovely. And so we're leaving the party, me and a friend of mine, our mutual friend. And we were walking to the metro. We got inside the metro and we're so hot. And I break out my fan and I'm like fanning. We're just talking about like, oh man, Istanbul is so hot right now, you know, and just da 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 da. And a random man walks up to us. He's a tall, fairly good looking man. And he starts chatting and he's like, "Yeah, it's hot here, you know." And we were talking about the metro stations and he said, "Oh yeah, like the metro stations, anywhere you go in the world, you know, if you go to London or if you go like any of the public transport, you know, Bosnia or Croatia." And he just kind of like is casually throwing out all of these places that I guess that he's been. And here's the thing, as a traveler, I mean, listen, I've probably done a not so humble brag. Like I probably have been in that situation where I've said, oh yeah, well, you know, I have a
in London.
I mean, I'm sure I probably have, but I try not to. Oh,
you know,
days, you know, like
Paris when I was there 3 years ago.
I know. I mean, he was just like casually throwing out like six different countries. And I thought, what in the world is this guy's deal? You know, like what's, you know, like why,
was he
what
Turkish?
Point is he, what point is he trying to make? I don't know where he was from.
Okay.
So then, you know, we start talking about it too. You're like, yeah, you know, London is kind of hot, you know, in the underground stations, you know? And he said, how do you guys like Istanbul so far? And we both looked at him and I was like, we live here. And I'm telling you, in like 2 seconds, he turned and he left the conversation. I don't understand what happened and why he wanted. Now, the train came, but it was the weirdest situation. Like, we were sitting there. We had like a 3-minute conversation about like, oh, you know, and he starts rattling off all these countries. And then we're like, no, we live here, you know. And then immediately he was completely uninterested in talking to us. I was like, is he trying to scam tourists or is he like, what was the point of that interaction?
Wait a minute, what was the point of this?
I was in Taxim.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. He was trying to scam you. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if he, I have no idea, but as soon as we said we're local, live here.
He was like, done. Whoop, he was done.
Like,
yeah.
Out of there. I've never had a situation like that before. I've never had anybody say, you know, oh, you live here. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Like, wouldn't it have been better to say, oh, that's nice. You live here. How long have you lived here? That's a natural part of like the conversation.
You're not good for business.
Right? I guess not. It was so weird, though.
I was scammed the first time I came here in 2005, I was scammed.
Oh, what happened?
I was scammed, but I was smart enough to know a little bit. Not a little bit, but I was just like, wait, y'all can't get away with this. It was summertime. It was hella hot. I bought myself a water. And at that time, before they changed Taksim Square, they had like these benches that you could sit on at Taksim Square in front of the statue. So
right.
I sat down.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. So I bought a water and I sat down on the bench. And this guy came up to me and was like, hey, ho, my friend. And I was like, hi.
Who are you?
Yeah, who are you? And he spoke English very, very well. He was like, oh, he says, where are you from? I says, you know, I'm from America, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's like, oh, hey, you know, it's nice to meet you. He says, you know, if you have a time, maybe we could have a drink together, you know. And I was like, yeah, I guess I could have, you know, a drink somewhere. I says, I will have one drink. And then, you know, and I was like, okay, maybe he can, you know, tell me about some nice places to go here or wherever.
Yeah.
So he brings me into this place. And I was looking, and I didn't think it was dangerous, but I thought it was suspicious because when I first walked in, the first thing that they have on the right hand side where this like tunnel you walk, they have like a list. They have a list of drinks, and the list of drinks have these prices next to them. And I looked at the prices and I saw that at that time it was a lot of money. It was 20 lira for a glass of Coke. And I was like, 20 lira?
At that time, it was
It was a lot because at that time in 2005, you could get a glass of Coke for 3 lira. And it was 20 lira. And I said to him, I said to myself, I says, wow, I says, this is really expensive. I says, what kind of a place did he bring me to? So then he's like, yeah, come in, sit down. They didn't even bring him in. They just says, what do you want to drink? And I remember the 20 lira for the Coca-Cola. And I said to him, bring me a water. And the guy looked at me, he was like, water? He says, come on, man, you got to have a beer. I said, I don't drink. I says, I don't drink alcohol. And I really don't. I don't drink alcohol. I says, I'm not going to buy any alcoholic drinks. He says, oh, come on. He says, and he said to the waiter, he says, bring him a beer. I says, I will not drink that beer. I don't want that beer. I says, I will. You're wasting your money if you bring me that beer because I'm not paying for it. I don't want a beer. I don't drink. If I says at the very, very most, I'll take a Coca-Cola. He says, okay, Coca-Cola for my friend, and I'll have a beer. And then all of a sudden, it's like they materialize out of nowhere. It's like three girls came to the table. And I was like, who are they?
Yeah.
Who are they? And the waiter automatically brought them each a glass of champagne.
I cannot believe this has happened to you.
Yeah. A glass of
because
champagne.
I've heard this story. This is the third time I've heard this story.
I looked at my friend and says, what's going on here? He's like, no, my friend. He says, oh, don't worry about it. Everything is okay, my friend, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God.
And then I was like, okay, I'm leaving. So then the waiter comes to the table with the bill. It was like 400 lira. And I was
I'm
not paying for this. I says, I'm paying for my Coca-Cola. I didn't order a drink for you. I didn't order any of them drinks. And he says, you can't. He says, you have to pay this. I says, who's going to make me?
Oh, my God.
And then some big guy came out. I says, I'm not afraid of him. I says, come on. I said, come on.
No.
Come on.
No way.
I says, we can go outside. Come on. Now, my fighting skills are not, at that time, they were not the best. I says, at the very most, I will pay for my Coca-Cola, and that's it.
My gosh.
And so then the owner was like, he says, we have all the prices here. I says, fine. I says, yeah, I saw those prices when I walked in, and I ordered a Coca-Cola. I did not order a beer for him, and I did not order drinks for them. I did not order that. Your friend ordered that, not me. And I says, and I'm not paying for it. And some big guy says, come on, come on. He probably would have beat my ass to a pulp. But I was not. It was either that or pay 400 lira. And I wasn't doing it. And I paid my 20 lira and I left. And then the guy comes running out after me. He's like, oh, he says, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. And I told him, I says, get away from me, man. You're scamming people. You're scamming people.
Oh, my God.
I says, and I said to them before that, I says, I'm calling the police on the place. And the guy, the owner, he said, call him. Call him. Police can't do anything because there's a law here in Turkey. They have to put the prices of all of the things that they're offering at the door. And that's what they did. And I walked in freely.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, this is the third time I've heard this story.
Yeah.
This happened to friends of mine. They were new here. It was a guy. It was a couple. But the lady had, you know, she was at home. She just kind of like felt like, you know, chilling at home. But he brought his friend who had, I don't know, I guess traveled here. And so he was kind of showing off to ask them, like he wanted to show off, like, and say, hey, you know, look at this great, you know, area, da, da, da. And I'm telling you almost exactly the same story, except for they bullied both of them because they're both little dudes. They bullied them and took them to an ATM, and the guys pulled money out and they reported it to the police and everything, and the police couldn't do anything about
it. Can't do anything.
I mean, that is so crazy. I cannot believe. I wonder if they're still running a scam like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of the scams. I've not really been scammed.
You're a woman. They won't scam you.
No, that's not true.
Really?
I have been scammed. I've been scammed in taxis, but not.
Okay. Yeah.
But not big time. The only time that I really feel like I was taken for a ride was when my mom came to visit, and she was very visibly looking like a tourist.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I can blend in a bit, and especially speaking Turkish, it definitely helps. And now there's Uber. Back then, there wasn't anything like that. And
yeah.
So you have to just like flag a cab and kind of cross your fingers and be like, well, I hope I get where I need to go, you know?
Right.
But this guy like took us around, you know, your elbow to get to your butt, basically.
Right.
And I knew where I was going. I'd lived here like for 4 years at that point. And I said, you know, where are we going? Are we going to go to this destination? So finally he took us there and charged me like double and didn't put the meter on it. I was so frustrated because every time I check and make sure that the meter's running. But it was because my mom was in town and I was kind of distracted. I wasn't really, you know, paying attention.
That's so unfortunate.
He took advantage of it.
Yeah.
And I yelled at it. My mom was like, oh my gosh, don't yell at this man. And I was like, he's scamming us. He's wrong.
Yeah.
It was just wrong.
All right. Now.
Yes.
I was today years old.
Yes. What's your today years old today?
When
I'm so curious.
I found out, and it was literally today. that. Prince, my all-time favorite musician.
Listen, can we just have a moment of silence? We love you, Prince. Oh my gosh, honestly.
That man was so talented and so underrated. Anyway.
Right.
I was today years old when I found out that Prince misunderstood the assignment.
What does that mean?
Yeah, he misunderstood one assignment. It was back in the 80s. I can't even remember what the date is now. It was the We Are the World. We are the children.
Yeah. Right. And everybody, like a whole bunch of people were there to record together. It was like everybody that was on the top 10.
Exactly.
The music charts, they were all there.
Now, there were two people that were...
Plus extras.
Right. But there were two people that were conspicuously missing. One was Prince, and the other was Madonna. Madonna was not there.
Oh, right.
Yes,
but Madonna. Cyndi Lauper was there.
Cyndi Lauper was there. LaToya Jackson was there. Jeffrey Osborne was there. Everybody who was somebody, who was a singer, who's ever worked with Quincy Jones was there.
But Prince was not there.
Prince was not there because he misunderstood the assignment. It was Lionel Richie who was doing all of the negotiations with these different artists to come in and, you know, sing a little bit of a song and, you know, keep on going.
Right.
And Lionel Richie said, look, he says, leave your egos at the door. There's no ego here. Everybody's going to be in one room. It's going to be one big giant studio. Like the video, when you've seen it. We're going to be in one big giant studio, and we're all going to sing an open mic. Prince was
with the exception of a couple of them that had like those solos.
No, they were all in big room studios. It was all in big room studios.
Like there's like a couple of times where you know, like Cyndi Lauper, for example, she said, "There's a choice we're making." You know, like one of those.
They were in the group.
You know,
they were not in the studio.
But they had solos within the song.
But there was no private studio. What I'm trying to say is that there were no private studios for anybody to sing their line.
Okay.
So Prince wanted to have his own private studio to sing his line. And Lionel Richie's like, we're not doing that. You know, everybody's going to be together. You know, it's a together thing. And Prince declined. He declined to do it.
Why did he decline?
Because he wanted to do his part in the studio. Yeah.
Was he like, okay, as a preschool teacher, we've got some kids that like they play well with others, and then there's others that don't play well with others. I think Prince had a little bit of that, but not for a wrong reason. Probably because he was really, really flipping talented, and maybe he didn't want to play with those people because they weren't talented.
But I mean, come on, Quincy Jones, Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder. How can he not be? I mean.
Okay. I know. But maybe he's thinking there's a handful of people that are not necessarily talented.
Right.
And
put
in that room
students.
For like different reasons, you know.
So because Prince didn't sing his part, guess who got to sing his part?
Oh, gosh. I have no idea.
Huey Lewis.
What? As Huey, in the news?
Yes. Huey Lewis sang his part.
You know what? I think I've seen Huey Lewis live. I worked at this theater in Myrtle Beach, and there was a bunch of people that would come in. Like I saw the Wailers, you know, like Ziggy. I think Ziggy Marley and the Wailers.
Ziggy Marley and the Wailers, yeah.
I think so. And I saw George Carlin, actually. I saw like a handful of different. Yeah. But just for a minute, because I was working like popcorn, you know, so it could come in during like breaks, you know, when everybody's, I'm telling you, I know that was my job. I had a handful of crazy jobs in Myrtle Beach, but so I would come in and I could like watch it for like 5 minutes and then you could leave, whatever. But I'm fairly certain that I have a signed like card with Huey Lewis
in the news. Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that I have it somewhere.
Now, I don't know
so
the reason
why. He took Prince's solo.
Yeah, he took Prince's solo. And he was like, you want me to sing Prince's part? They're like, yeah, Prince is not coming. So you want to sing this part? Because he didn't have a solo part at the time. I think his hit song was Hip to Be Square. But they were just like, you know, Huey Lewis. But they were like, yeah, Huey Lewis, come on. Come on down. You're the next contestant.
Why him? I wonder why they.
I don't know.
Do you think it was
like Lionel Richie just asked him? I suppose, but I don't know the reason why Madonna didn't participate. I don't think she was feeling it, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. You know who else didn't participate? Patti LaBelle,
and she was huge at that time.
Yeah, Patti LaBelle. I mean, there were so many famous singers who just sang background. Okay, what about you?
So, you know, I came back from the summer and I had a summer holiday with my family, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've told you the story. Anyway, we rented this house and I usually I'm the one that kind of starts the ball rolling and oftentimes I'm the one that kind of picks it, or at least I, you know, share it with my sister and she approves and my mom approves and whatever. So I found this house and it was great. It was a good deal. And it, you know, it's in the middle of the woods and it's really lovely and, you know, cool up there, trees everywhere. Gorgeous. And so, my family says, okay. And so we decide that's the house that we're going to rent. Everybody packs up. We go in the summertime and everybody's getting settled in. And as we're getting settled in, like getting the lay of the land, you know, I broke a nail.
C'est tragique.
So I broke my nail and I didn't know what to do. And so I'm looking around for like a matchbox or something because it can like help like a nail problem. So I'm pulling out drawers.
Wait,
and
what?
Whatever.
How can a matchbox help a nail problem?
Listen, there's like a little it's almost like sandpaper on one side.
Oh, where you strike the mat. Oh, okay. Look at you and your tips.
So if you, I know. Cosmo girl here.
Cosmo girl.
I think I saw it in a magazine once. So anyway, I'm looking around for something like that because I figured, you know, like, because I'm sure I can't find a nail file in this house. So I pull out a drawer and there is a rat trap inside the drawer.
Ew.
Rat trap.
Why?
But it's not live. It's not a live rat trap. It's just a rat trap. And so I closed the drawer quickly because I was like, I don't want anybody to see this. And
wait.
What? Yeah.
Was this rat trap set and baited or it was just laying
there? No.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't a live one. It was just a trap.
Okay.
And I was like, that's interesting and odd. So then, you know, I close the drawer and I don't tell anybody because I don't want anybody to freak out, you know. And I didn't know this later, but my sister also pulled out that drawer and she also saw it and she didn't say anything either. We both kept the secret. And so I'm downstairs, like there's three different levels of the house. It's a really nice big house for a good amount of people. And I go downstairs to the laundry room and checking out where, you know, where we can do our laundry, you know, because if we go swimming, we do laundry, whatever. I see another rat trap and then I see another one, but these are baited live rat traps
around
downstairs,
the house,
inside the house.
No.
So like, okay, we're in the woods. It can happen. It's okay. Like I understand sometimes this can happen in the woods, but when you are paying to rent a house on Airbnb, you don't expect there to be a rodent issue.
Right. I mean, were these rat traps preventative or active?
So, okay. So I emailed the guy. I emailed the Airbnb guy, you know, the owner, whatever. And I said, hey, listen, I think we have an issue here. And I didn't tell my family also. I didn't want to tell them because I felt like, can you imagine? Everybody gets there. We're all unpacked. Everybody's settling in. And then I say, hey, there's a live rodent issue in this house. And let's all pack up. And not only that, you have to find a whole other place for like seven people to go to.
I don't think it's that deep. I mean, if you and I,
know.
Desma, seriously, if you and I had rented a cabin in the middle of...
It's not a cabin. It was a nice house.
Or, okay, a nice house in the middle of a forest on the top of a mountain somewhere in God's nature, I'm going to run into a mouse or two.
I know. I you're right. You have a point. You do have a point.
So, I mean, if you told me there was a baited rat trap, or not rat trap, but a baited mouse trap, I would be like, okay, I will be on my guard. But to not tell anybody, I think you...
So, I know. What?
I think you exaggerated.
I don't know. I don't know, man. So I told my sister... Actually, my mom was the first one to know. Like, we had to go and run an errand or something. We get in the car, and it's just me and her. And the door closes, and I'm like, Mom, I got to tell you something. I was like, I need to tell you. There's rat traps outside. I saw one in the drawer, and I'm like, God, you know. And she's like, what?
Did she freak out? Me?
Well, I mean, not really. But she's like, the first thing she said, did you tell your sister? Because I think if I talk to her, then she will have, I don't know, she is a bit of a voice of reason, you know, anyway.
For anybody who doesn't know, I have spoken to Desma's mother over the phone. I've never met her personally, but Desma's mother is the coolest person on the planet Earth. If you open the dictionary, look for the word cool, you will see Desma's mother's picture right next to the word. That's how cool this woman is.
Hey, Mom.
Seriously.
And my sister is equally cool. And I've also said to David, like, they are the same person, except for they are totally different. Anyway, so I talked to my sister, and I'm like, hey, I need you to know there's, like, rat traps, like, downstairs. And she's like, oh, yeah, I saw one in the drawer. I was like, what? And you didn't say anything? She's like, I didn't want to freak anybody out. And I was like, I didn't want to either. Like, so we're both like walking around with this lie, you know, like internal lie.
God.
We didn't want to tell anybody. So she said, listen, Desma, it can be normal because, you know, we're in the woods.
Yeah.
So what? There might be mice. You know, it can happen. But I was like, we're paying a lot of money for this house. Like, we don't,
I mean, you can't,
you know,
mouse-proof a house in the middle of the forest. I mean, it's just, you're going to get critters.
We've never had an issue with like any of the houses that we've rented. Anyway, I know maybe I'm a drama queen. It's possible.
Maybe.
But we had like pest control come out. It was a whole thing. We didn't have any issues. We never saw anything. Yeah.
You
we
got
had pest control.
Pest control?
Yeah.
Desma?
Well, listen. We paid a good amount, and I wanted to make sure that everybody was safe. Also,
well, let me tell
you
something. I mean, the good thing about it is, thank God you found a mousetrap and you didn't find something else.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Well, my friend, I think that is good.
Yes, thank you for joining us, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on our unlikely journey.
Yes. And again, if you are watching on YouTube, please like, share, subscribe, and hit the notification bell so that you know when we post a new video. Also, you can leave a comment. You can even make suggestions. We do take suggestions on what you would like us to talk about. But please be very nice. Please be respectful. Please only give constructive criticism, because everything else is just going to get deleted. So I have a very... I have a very, very fast delete button. So,
well, thank you for your support, and thank you for listening to us, definitely. And thank you for hanging out with me today, friend.
Yes, friend. And also, if you're watching on linear platforms, can you give us a rating so that the algorithm gods know that we're doing a good job and that we should be shown more often? Friend. She's so cute.
All right. I'll see you later, Fran.
Bye, Fran.
Bye. Yeah.